Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. Personal assistants and artificial intelligence are center stage at this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. AI, as it's known, is on the rise in more and more devices we use every day. But is that a good thing? Is it neutral? Well, today we talk to a panel of experts about the rise of AI and how it is or could be used.
We really need to be thinking, as humans, how do we want to interact with AI, and how can we best leverage it to get the good parts out without having to suffer some of the negative consequences.
AI and humanity on this week's American Cafe.
Simply say Alexa and ask a question or give a command.
Alexa, how many tablespoons are in 3/4 cup?
3/4 cups is 12 tablespoons.
Okay, Google. Call 24/7 Lock Labs.
Calling 24/7.
The ads for Amazon's Alexa and Google's Assistant show the interactive voice-activated machines being very helpful to the humans they serve. Alexa provides answers and does mundane tasks that help a woman make her waffles, while the Google Assistant helps a man get in his house when he's locked out. These are the latest generation of interactive machines that are one of the high points of this year's Consumer Electronics Show. But are they benign? Could the data we share with them be used in ways that we might not like? And what principles should govern how our personal information is used? To begin the discussion, I asked Jeffrey Bigham, an associate professor at Carnegie Mellon University, to define artificial intelligence.
Any machine, something that we are able to build as humans, that is able to exhibit intelligent behaviors. So this can be anything from what you see in science fiction, like robots that, you know, act very much like humans, or even the websites that you visit that are able to adapt themselves to you based on your prior viewing habits.
Last July, Tesla CEO Elon Musk had called for government regulation of AI, but Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said Musk was engaging in fear-mongering. For some perspective, I asked Chris Nicholson, the CEO of SkyMind, a San Francisco-based company behind Deep Learning 4J, a widely used deep learning tool for Java. He said the near-term concern is privacy and surveillance.
We're digitizing more of our lives, and that's going to these central repositories, which are accessible by the companies that make the devices, which are compliant with the U.S. government agencies, and occasionally hacked by foreign groups like the ones that affected the U.S. election. So the real question is, do people want to make their domestic experiences and conversations available to all of those parties, right? Are they comfortable with that being recorded and potentially accessed? I think that the answer is often going to be no.
Bobby Palmer is an associate professor at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. He told me that people have a responsibility to make sure we don't fall into the trap of idea silos or bubbles because of what electronic algorithms feed us.
I think we have to have some conversations in society about what it means to be a healthy, functioning human being. What are those elements? Does that include critical thinking? Does that include finding new ways to think about problems or to grow? And I think a lot of the algorithms and the technology that we have around information technology uses models to put us into a category and then to treat us in a certain way based on that category. It limits growth. It limits the idea of randomness and change that we all as human beings have the capacity for.
Sister Ilya Delio is a professor of theology and religious studies at Villanova University in Philadelphia. She said that consumers need to be aware that too much reliance on our devices and artificial intelligence could change the way we react to other humans.
I think we are losing the depth dimension of human personhood. We are becoming what Nicholas Carr called pancake people, you know, spread wide and thin at the touch of a button. And I think this kind of exporting of the human interior, or we might even say the exporting of the human soul onto AI, may be our greatest challenge in the future.
Peter Scott is a former NASA scientist, and he's also the author of Crisis of Control, How Artificial Superintelligence May Destroy or Save the Human Race. He told me that since AI is learning about us from us, we need to give it good examples.
It's incumbent on all of us, through all the ways that we interact with each other and AI to set an example of what the most ethical behavior is, so that when AI does wake up, that it has not just super intelligence, but super compassion.
Sister Ilya Delio said that tech companies and developers might invite other thought leaders from philosophy, ethics, and theology to the table to inform the development of new technology.
And I think we need to slow down. And I think, you know, if we are truly ethically concerned about this planet, then the conversation partners need to widen. And I think Silicon Valley needs to open up its doors and allow, you know, philosophers and theologians and ethicists into their inner sanctums, you know, and sit down at the table together. What are we envisioning for the future? What kind of person are we envisioning?
Chris Nicholson of SkyMind reminded me that AI will also have multiple benefits for the human race.
AI is going to save lives, right? AI and self-driving cars will save tens of thousands of lives per year. AI and cancer diagnostics will save, will give us much more accurate prognoses about people. And that could have saved people in my family had it been there years ago. So I want people to remember it's a trade-off, right? There's good things and bad things about AI coming our way.
Jeffrey Bigham of Carnegie Mellon says, as artificial intelligence becomes more a part of our world, we will need to take responsibility for how we use it, including where we get our news, who we vote for, what causes we support, and where we spend our money.
I think we need to figure out how to allow people to make good decisions, how to allow people to be accountable. I mean, I think we'd all like that. I think it's just unclear, you know, how to do that right now. I don't think the tech companies have an answer for that. And I don't think that, you know, just saying that it's the individual's fault and they should be more careful is a good answer either. We really need work to make it so that people can do what I think all of us really want to do.
All of my guests had much more to say about this subject than time would allow on our program this week. That's why you can find links to their entire interviews on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. That's also where you can leave your questions or comments. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington. Thanks for listening.